out in the middle of nowhere, it seems just about anything can happen, and no one's gonna be there to help you. At least, not anytime soon. Welcome back to the swamp, my friends. It's good to see you made it back for another video. Today, joining me sharing these creepy, allegedly true middle of nowhere stories is my good friend Jensen. If you enjoy his voice, please be sure to check out his channel and give him a subscribe. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. As always, these stories were sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a middle of nowhere story or something else, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Now, without further ado, let's get into these creepy, allegedly true stories from the middle of nowhere. When I was younger, every year for Christmas I would drive upstate to my aunt's house along a stretch of highway. I cannot for the life of me remember the name of this road. All I know is it runs nearby Akron, New York, at some point. However, most of the drive is through rural areas with little towns nearby. So, it was the dead of night, and my groggy self had gotten off a long shift and had to drag myself to my aunt's house, since my extended family was expecting me the following morning. Near halfway through the drive, I realized I was low on gas, which irritated me. My brother told me he had filled it up the day before, so he either forgot or was straight up lying. I saw an archaic-looking sign for a gas station off the next road. It was not an official road sign, literally a pole with a slab of metal attached with it, saying, "Gas, next exit," or something along those lines painted on it. That seemed a little sketchy, but people do the same thing with fruit stands on highways, so whatever. I pulled off the exit, onto some dilapidated country-looking road, through some dense woods. The whole thing was creepy and surreal. I kept expecting Leatherface to come running out of the trees with a chainsaw at any moment. Anyways, eventually, I came to the gas station and realized quickly it had not been open for many years. It was all rusted and the convenience store's roof was caving in. The gas pumps had all been taken out as well. I pulled over next to it and checked my gauge. I would probably only make it another half mile before running out. So I called AAA, and they said they would send a truck over. Now, I played the waiting game. I left my engine on because when the headlights were off, everything was pitch black and my paranoid self wasn't sitting next to an abandoned gas station in the middle of nowhere in a forest in complete darkness. So, most of the wait went uneventful until I sensed movement around the side of the old store, where my lights are pointed. I looked up, but did not see anything more, so I looked back down at my phone. Then over the sounds of the night, I hear someone yell, "Hey buddy, come here," in a demanding tone. I looked up and I kid you not, there's a dude standing by the old store looking towards me, illuminated by my headlights. He looked like a run-of-the-mill homeless guy. I was honestly spooked and figured he must have been squatting there. Still watching him, I rolled down my window and yelled something like, "Yeah, what's up?" Still mentally crapping myself. I had my foot ready to floor it out of there at the first sign of trouble. "You got any change?" "Nah, I don't, man, sorry." I look up at him. He has this kind of vacant expression and is standing stiff. Then I see more movement. There are heads, about 20 or so heads, peeking around the trees beyond the man I am talking to. I cannot see them clearly at all, but they are people. Literally just heads staring in my directions from around the trees. I see another guy begin walking around the gas station, and then I turned around and sped off. I got as far away from the place as my tank would carry me, and updated AAA on my location. The driver came back over and filled me up, and I did not say anything, but after he left I wanted to call the cops. So I called the nearest town sheriff department. They said they'd send a trooper over and I gave them the location. When I got to my aunt's house, they called me back and said whoever was there was gone, but they could tell a large number of people had been living there for a while. Blankets, canned food, the usual, were all found. The whole situation still freaks me out. But frankly, I can consider myself lucky I will always have such a creepy story to tell. I'm just glad nothing bad happened.
I'm a Hispanic female, Mexican to be exact, and this happened on my family's ranch just last night. My family consists of my parents, me, and my little brother. My other brother is at basic training right now, for the Air Force, so for now it's just us. I want to sit down and get this all out while I can. I live in New Mexico, the southeastern part right next to Texas state line. Like literally 10 minutes east and you're in Texas anyways. I live 15 miles outside of my hometown and 8 miles away from the town over. My family has a cattle ranch and I live just off the highway, so people coming on our ranch are usually people we know. I think I live in the safest place anyone could possibly live, with little to no worry about someone wanting to cause my family and I any harm. Well, last night proved me wrong. Let me briefly explain the layout of my place. We have the main entrance with the ranch name and cattle guard, and then to the right, a few hundred feet over, is the gate we use for the cattle when they're being moved. But once you come onto our land, we have a giant silver barn, and attached to it is an overstay house, where workers would go and stay overnight during harvesting season. Then it's my house, a little ways away, about a 2 to 3 minute walk. Anyways, my mom's cousin from Mexico is running the overstay house for my parents while he works here in the US. For privacy reasons, his name will be Antonio for the story. So last night around 8 p.m, it was thunderstorming when Antonio heard a knock at the door. "Come in," he said, assuming it was either my mom or dad. But no, I walked in and a dirty-looking white man about 5'9". With a goatee that was obviously tweaking, and talking really fast, which obviously scared Antonio seeing as he didn't speak English. So Antonio calls my dad and told him, "Hey, there's some white man here in the apartment. I don't know what he wants or how to get him out." Right away my dad drives to the apartment with his gun, and demanded to know what business this man had on our land. "They told me to come here and talk to you." "Who sent you to come talk to me?" "It was a talking dog. It wanted me to warn y'all that the world's going to end. And the dogs are talking to me too." Referring to my two dogs, Sheba and Sombra, who were barking and growling at him like crazy. "Look, friend, I think it's best if you get off my property." Yeah, I should leave." He then proceeds to hop the cattle guard gate. My dad calls the sheriff department and explain what had happened, and if this man didn't get off the property, my dad was going to make sure he doesn't leave breathing. After this phone call, my dad and Antonio are just looking at the man on the other side of the gate. He was flaring his arms around, like tweakers do, and talking at the top of his lungs. Then he did the most ungodly thing. He started screaming demonically, then proceeds to run down the highway. Once the police came, they told my dad that they had gotten calls about him, and apparently, he lived close by to our ranching community. Great. We've got a crackhead neighbor. My dad just told them that he better not come onto our property again, because my dad said that he doesn't know him, he's not welcome, he doesn't know his intentions, and he's not scared to shoot him if any of us feel threatened. The sheriff then left, and everybody got ready to go to bed. Then early this morning around 3 a.m, Antonio called my dad again, panicked because the man was knocking on the apartment door, and he was holding a gun. My dad got up pretty quickly and told my mom to call the police. When my dad got to the apartment, the man was going through Antonio's truck, and once he saw my dad, he booked it once again. My dad was raging. He told the police if he went further than the apartment and got anyone near our home or went through the vehicles, he was going to shoot the man, and he was warning them now. We don't have a security system, we just locked the front and back door, and we never felt the need to lock our vehicles until today. We do, however, have security cameras, one facing the main entrance/our vehicles, one right by the front door, and one facing the area where the cattle and two horses are. Unfortunately, my dogs are all bark and no bite. Sheba's about 7 years old and is a lab mix, and Sombra is about 2, and she's a red heeler. The dogs are mostly on our porch waiting for cattle and barking at whoever comes through the main entrance. But I think now, my old school Mexican parents are going to have to finally invest in a security system. Instead of thinking that a locked door and a porch light on will scare away others, I will update if anything else happens later tonight.
This happened 12 years ago when I was 16. I am a female. Back then, I lived in a small town where most people lived out in the country. Around 12 a.m. on a Saturday, I'm dropping my friend off after a night of hanging out. This friend lived all the way out in the country, and to get there you had to take a lot of winding roads with nothing on either side, and not many people traveled on them. There were a few houses, but most of them own lots of land, so they are majorly spread out. I always hated dropping her off at night because driving back was always super creepy. Probably because I've seen way too many horror movies out in the middle of nowhere. But regardless, it was my turn to drive that night. After dropping her off, I'm being super careful, not only because of my irrational fear, but because of drunks who won't take those I turn left on the last street before I get to the main road, and this street has major curves. Like, you have to take them slow or you're going to be flipping off the road. I am coming up on the first curve, so I'm slowing down when I see three people dressed in all black, black sweatpants and black pant, walking and blocking the whole time. It was frustrating at first, because I thought they were just teenagers not thinking of the dangers of what they were doing. So I sped up to hurry and pass them. As I'm passing them, I look out my side window to get a glimpse of the idiot teenagers' faces when I noticed all three of them were wearing some creepy gray skull mask, and they all stared at me as I passed them. If it was close to Halloween, I would have passed it off as someone getting in the spirit of Halloween, but it was around May when this happened. The weird thing about the situation was it did not seem like they were trying to run me off the road or cause me harm. They did not even look behind them when I first pulled upon them. The whole situation was too weird, so I called the police. They called me back pretty soon after and told me they sent someone to the exact location where I described. They said they found nobody walking on the street or even on the side of it. What creeped me out the most about this was that there was nowhere these three people could have hidden. The street was all open land on both sides. There were also no side streets that they could have turned to evade the cops. They had to have been picked up by somebody or knew of a good place to hide. Either way, I know what I saw. I know it was actual people, and not something I just made up in my head. I have no idea to this day what those people were out there doing, but I told my friend that if she wanted me to drop her off again, it needed to be before dark, because I never wanted to be found out there, ever again. My family and I were driving from Ohio to Wyoming one holiday season to visit family about 10 years ago. Due to the storms farther north, we traveled straight west instead of northwest at first, and split the trip at Omaha, staying the night before heading up through Nebraska into South Dakota. Once we were far enough north, we turned west onto I-90. At that point, it had been over an hour since we saw anywhere that might have a public restroom, and we were on state routes, so no rest areas. Those of you who have traveled with a young kid know that's close to their bladder and boredom's limit, and our daughter was begging us to stop somewhere to pee. South Dakota was similarly deserted, or even worse as we headed west. Finally, we reached a desperately needed rest stop, as my at the time 5-year-old and I both needed to pee by then. Just as we pulled in, the truck that had been following us for a while pulled in too. I did not think too much of it at first until I started to open my door. My head was turned to the right where the truck was parked a couple of spots over. My eyes met the driver's, and I just shivered. He was a skinny white guy, straggly gray-brown beard and dark eyes. I could see that he was wearing a dingy, blue plaid shirt. He got out of his 90s brown and cream truck and started rummaging in the bed. I told my husband I didn't want to go into the rest stop alone because of the guy and that weird feeling I got from him. He thought I was being a little silly but agreed to come with us. At that point, the next stop was Wall, South Dakota, about 100 miles away according to the huge billboards we'd been passing. He'd figured he'd better empty his bladder even though he didn't particularly feel the need. I grabbed our daughter and we headed inside, followed by the guy who'd finished rummaging at his truck but wasn't carrying anything when I glanced back. My daughter and I did our business in the woman's restroom and head back out to the lobby. As I expected, my husband was already there, since he did not have a small human to chaperone. The old guy was also in the tiny lobby. He was just standing there, staring at my husband. My husband rushed us back to our car. As we were buckling in, he locked the doors. Then he told me that guy had not even gone into the restroom and was just standing in the lobby the whole time. He agreed with me that we might have just had a close call, and he was just glad it had not been me or our daughter out there alone. However, that is not the end of the story. Remember how I mentioned Wall, and that it was 100 miles away? Well, that was 100 miles of pretty empty landscape but a decent number of turnoffs from the interstate. We didn't see the truck following us and thought the whole episode was behind us. Except when we stopped in Wall to grab lunch and some road snacks, plus look around this homey but little tourist map in the middle of nowhere. We saw the guy in the store, not even 20 feet from us. Same face, beard, dirty plaid shirt. Thankfully, we'd already eaten, so since he was staring at us again, we quickly paid for our snacks and trinkets and got the heck out of there. Thankfully, we never saw him again, but I was seriously creeped out until we reached our relatives in Wyoming safely and with no other sight of that truck. About a year ago, I got an Alaskan Malamute puppy. I was so excited to have a dog. I wanted to go hiking with him, camping, travel. It was fall in Iowa, so it can get cold for camping. So I decided to start researching cabin rentals. I had found an amazing cabin in Wisconsin on Airbnb. It was fully loaded, very secluded in the middle of the woods. Had a hot tub, internet, pool table, great kitchen. The cabin was just so beautiful, and it was cheap to rent to boot. The first time I had visited this cabin, I had a great time. It was just me and my dog. I relaxed, we went hiking, I cooked a great dinner, and I slept well. I only stayed one night, just a quick getaway on my off day from work. After getting home, I told my friend Martha about this great cabin, and she was eager to take a trip there with me. We decided to go up there the night before Halloween. We took off, just Martha, my dog, and myself. That night we had a blast. We drank, cooked dinner, chilled in the hot tub, then decided to watch scary movies since it was close to Halloween. I was pretty drunk, but when I was standing in the kitchen, I could have sworn I seen Martha run down the basement stairs, which were right off from the kitchen where I was standing. Then I looked over into the living room and Martha was sitting on the couch watching the movie. I was so freaked out, but I tried to just pass it off as nothing. Like I said, I was drunk, so I kinda just blew it off. We both end up passing out late, and nothing too exciting happened. What happens the next morning is what made me a solid believer in the paranormal. I was always sort of a skeptic when it came to ghosts. I had, as some have had, some weird experiences that were weird, but nothing that I could justify as paranormal, you know, I could probably write off those experiences if I really wanted to. So I always had doubt in the back of my mind. But that morning, we were hungover. We ate a little breakfast, then decided to go sit in a hot tub. So I decided to lock my dog in his crate, and we went outside to get in the tub. I was so tired, but this felt so magical, because it was literally Halloween and it was dumping down snow. We sat in the hot tub for maybe 15 minutes. I heard a very loud bang coming from inside the cabin, and my dog was barking at something. We got out and ran inside to the kitchen since it was cold. Then we literally froze in our footsteps. The entire kitchen was torn apart. All the cabinets were open. The refrigerator door and the top of the freezer were open. The bar chairs were all flipped onto their backs. Drawers were open. Pans were thrown off shelves. Martha's phone was charging on the counter and it was unplugged on the floor. I have no other explanation other than it could have been some sort of paranormal event. My dog looked terrified, but there is no way he tore the kitchen apart. He was still a puppy. He was not that big yet, and he was still locked in his crate. Before we went outside, the kitchen was a little messy from our night before, but nothing like what we walked into. The kitchen was absolutely trashed. I know Martha didn't do it because we were both outside. There was also no way someone broke in the cabin to do it. We were in the middle of nowhere, and it was snowing, so there would have been footsteps. The hot tub is right next to the long driveway leading into the cabin. We would have seen anyone drive up there for sure. I just have no other explanation on why that happened. So now I am a believer into the paranormal, and so is Martha. I am sure my dog saw some crazy stuff. We left soon after this happened, and believe it or not, I actually stayed at this cabin again. Multiple times, and nothing has ever happened like that, ever again. Maybe Halloween stirred up the spirits, and they just wanted to be heard or seen in some way. Maybe I really did see a ghost the night before as well. Who knows what crazy things happened in that cabin? It's very old. This happened when I was 11 years old, which I'm now 13 and still remember clear as day. I basically lived in the middle of nowhere, so I didn't have many friends. There was this huge forest though, so I would play in that all the time. One day I went out to go play. It was around 6:30, so it was kind of dark outside. Now let me mention I live in Wisconsin. I went deep into the forest, and everything was pretty normal until about 7. Now, I was used to hearing weird noises in the woods, but nothing like this. I heard this awful scream. It wasn't human-like either. It was like a demon. It scared the absolute crap out of me. I was a curious little girl, so of course I went to investigate. I got maybe a half a mile in when I saw this non-human-like creature perched in a tree. Now, instead of running for my life, I froze in shock and fear for whatever reason. And before I knew it, that thing, that awful smelly thing was already behind me. I just wanted to scream for help, but I couldn't for whatever reason. I didn't know what that creature could do to me, so I stood there like a rock, hoping it would leave. It screamed again, but even worse this time. I felt like I was gonna go deaf. Eventually, after a couple of minutes of this thing staring at me and sniffing around, it flew up, and I mean it jumped up and flew up into a tree. I stood there looking at it for what felt like hours. The only thing I could think to do was try to whip out my phone and blind it with the flash so I could make a run. And that's what I tried to do. Now, I forgot to mention earlier, I was a little chubby for my age, so I couldn't run all that fast. And that sucked because that creature jumped and ran after me. It chased me, and I ran for my life. At any moment I knew that thing could grab me if it wanted to. But for some reason it seemed like it just wanted to scare me. As I screamed for help, that creature caught up with me, and I felt like my life was going to be over. I made a dash for the bushes, hoping to be able to hide in one, which I did. Now, I waited for at least half an hour, watching this thing run around and hearing it screech and holler all through the woods. After a while, I made a dash to the back door, hoping that thing wasn't behind me. Instead, he was perched on our air conditioner. I told my parents that very night, and they called me crazy, but I know what I saw out there, and I'm never going into those woods again. Monsters are real, and I don't know what that creature was, and I don't really care to find out what that creature is. I just know it's out there. Thanks for listening to these creepy and allegedly true middle of nowhere horror stories. As always, these stories were sent in by viewers just like you. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future video, whether it be a middle of nowhere story or something else, be sure to submit your story at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I'd love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that truly help keep this show going on a daily basis. Much love and appreciation towards my friend Jensen. He really helped me out today by reading story number 2. If you enjoy his voice, please be sure to check out his channel and give him a subscribe. You can find the link to do so in the top of the description. He's a really talented narrator, and he's very, very funny as well, so I think you guys would definitely love his content. Give him a chance, I really think you'll like him. If you enjoyed these stories, be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. The more likes this video gets, the more YouTube promotes it in its algorithm. If you're new to the swamp, why not join us? Subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video, as I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you're not aware, you can download and bring your favorite Swamp Dweller scary stories with you everywhere you go. You can download them for free on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, and just about everywhere else you find your favorite podcast online. If you want to support the channel outside of hitting that like button and subscribing, maybe check out my merch store. We have t-shirts, mugs, face masks, hoodies, and just about everything else you could want in 2020. Thank you guys, as always, for supporting the Swamp the way you do. I can't thank you enough for all the support you give the Swamp on a daily basis. We're getting very close to 190,000 subscribers. Our plight to 200,000 is getting very, very close. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. Oh, and remember, Shrek is watching.